Well, shalom, y'all. Just want to welcome you to this week's teaching. We are so glad that you have joined us. And in this week's teaching, we were actually going to be doing a teaching on Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets is just around the corner. And I hope that you are ready to celebrate. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about in this Torah portion. And that is we as believers being ready. You know, when you sound the shofar, when that trumpet blasts, it is a wake-up call. So let's allow the trumpet call this year when the shofars are blasted to remind ourselves to stay awake, to stay alert, to be sober, and to be vigilant in this world, in this dark world that we're living in, so that we will be ready for His return. And as his scripture says, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. So that's the very reason why we study the commands that he has given us, his instructions he has given us in his word, because it is our firm foundation. And as we build our lives upon his word, as we learn his Torah, as we apply his Torah to our life, and we walk in obedience to it, we are building a firm foundation in our life, which nothing will cause us to stumble in this dark world. And also, we will be ready for his return. So I hope that you have a wonderful and blessed Feast of Trumpets over this next week when you celebrate. And I just pray that Yahweh blesses you and enriches you with his spirit and imparts wisdom in his word into your life this season, and that he just takes us to another level in relationship with him and with his spirit as he transforms us by his word and by his spirit as well. So let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. It says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. This is Yeshua speaking of his return of the latter days. When will those days be? He says, of that day, no one knows. He says, not even the angels of heaven, but only my Father. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. So I want to pause here in this reading. And the first thing we see here of Yeshua when he's speaking of his return, what those days will be like. Number one, no one will know the day or the hour of his return. Now, we who are walking in a close relationship with the Father and with his Spirit, we can be aware of the seasons and we can know the seasons. But we will not know of the day or the hour. So we need to live our lives prepared each and every day for his return, because we do not know when he will come. So every year when we celebrate Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, we are rehearsing and preparing ourselves for his return, preparing our hearts and our spirits for his return, to remind ourselves that he is coming back. And when he comes back, we want to be found being faithful. Be that faithful servant when he returns. As Yeshua is speaking here, he says, in those days, there will be those who are given over into drinking, marrying, and they're just going on with life. But one of the other things that we're reminded of in the story of Noah is Yahweh spoke of the men at that time, and he said that their hearts were evil continually. And that's where we're progressing towards in this dark world, and that's what it's going to be like when he returns. The hearts of men in this world are going to be evil continually. Darkness is going to continue to get darker, and they are just going to be going on with their lives as if there is no punishment, no judgment coming upon them for their wicked behavior. They are unaware. They're living their lives unaware of the fact that Yeshua is coming back a second time, and he will render judgment to those who do not believe in him and who are not walking in covenant with him. So we need to, number one, be what? Alert, vigilant, sober, and aware. Not as the men of the earth who will be unaware of what is coming. Because they were walking according to their hearts. They go on with life as if nothing is wrong. But you know what we see in Scripture? Is that God was patient with them and gave them time to repent. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. So in this beginning part of this verse, we see it talks about once the divine long-suffering. So he waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. So they had time to repent. And you think about, as we read Scripture, about the size of the ark and how large it was, and the fact that Noah is here building this ark. I mean, this took him some time to complete this task. So they had time to repent. And that is what is going on at this day and time. Yahweh has not sent his son to return yet, and he is patiently, he is long-suffering, he is waiting and giving an opportunity for the people of this world to turn from their evil hearts, to turn from doing what is right in their own eyes. He's being patient. He's giving them that opportunity. Okay, but you know, Noah not only built the ark, but he also preached righteousness while he was building the ark. So as Yahweh is waiting patiently for them to turn from their wickedness and to start walking in righteousness with him, he doesn't just leave them there with no one to share the message for there not to be that preacher of righteousness, but he gave them Noah to preach righteousness. And so that's what we as believers are today to do, as we are here on the earth. Not only are we to be vigilant and to be sober and alert and awake and aware of what's going on, but we need to be people who preach his righteousness to the dark world around us, because we have a great opportunity around us. His judgment has not come yet. He is delaying his judgment and giving an opportunity for the world to repent. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. So this passage here, we have a lot of rich things to look at here. First thing we see here at the beginning is he goes into some examples of how in time past, he did not spare those who walk in wickedness. And he says that they serve as an example for those who would live ungodly afterwards. So just as the angels who chose to follow Satan and worship him, they were cast down to hell. They were delivered into the chains of darkness. That's what the scripture says. They are there and they will receive judgment at the end along with Satan, the adversary. So they are going to receive judgment. So even his angels who sinned receive judgment. So he's saying even men on earth who sin, who walk according to the lust of their flesh, they will receive judgment as well. Okay? He also talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, how they were condemned to destruction, how they saw destruction. They received the judgment of Almighty because they walked in the lust of their flesh. So as a warning to all mankind of what happens and what is to come to those who choose not to repent during this season in which Yahweh is patiently waiting to send his son to return. Judgment to those who walk in disobedience. But when we look at Lot, who was righteous, it says that he was oppressed by their filthy conduct. You know, the book of Revelation speaks of two marks. We have the mark of God and we have the mark of the beast. And Ezekiel, the prophet, talks about how there is the mark of God upon the foreheads of those who weep and cry over the wickedness that they see around them. So what is this mark of God? It's those who are walking in his righteousness. And when you are walking in his righteousness and you see the darkness around you, you see the evil, wicked hearts of the men around you, it can be oppressive. It can torment our righteous souls or our righteous hearts. It grieves our hearts when we see their behavior. Because we have a love for his righteousness. See, we repent of our wickedness by putting our belief in Yeshua. He redeems us from the curse of the law. And then he comes and he cleanses our hearts. He circumcises our hearts and he puts his spirit inside of us. And when his spirit is inside of us, we react to sin and wickedness the same way that his spirit does. His spirit is grieved by sin. That's why scripture tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When we walk in sin, when we walk in the lust of our flesh, and we walk in presumptuous sin, just outright doing what we know is not right, we grieve his spirit. And that same spirit is living inside of us as believers, and we were immersed and filled with his spirit, and we have a love for his righteousness. We are grieved just like his spirit is. You could actually say it is his spirit grieving inside of us when we see and we hear of the lawless deeds of the world around us. But scripture talks about how Yahweh knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, how to deliver us from the day of judgment. We will not have to endure his wrath. Those who chose not to put their belief in Yeshua and repent of their evil ways, they will have to endure the day of judgment. They will feel his wrath. Because they chose not to walk in covenant with him. But to us who are walking in covenant with him, who have a belief in Yeshua. And because we believe in him, our belief begins to produce obedience in our lives, and we begin to live a lifestyle of repentance before our Heavenly Father, we will be delivered from his wrath, and we will also be delivered from temptation. When temptation comes our way, we can call out and we can cry out for help, and he will deliver us from temptation. So let's look at our next verse here in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 40. He says, "Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So again, Yeshua is back to speaking about the fact that we do not know the day or the hour of his return. So he speaks the fact of how we need to be ready. Yeshua likens it to this thief who would come to break into the house and the master who is watching guard over his house. Because see, when the thief is going to come, he's going to wait for the one who is watching to fall asleep, for the one who is watching to not be alert or ready or be prepared for him coming. You know, scripture calls Satan a thief. He's a thief who has come to kill, steal, and destroy. So Satan is watching and looking and waiting for his opportunity to strike, so he can kill, steal, and destroy. But he cannot come when we're being vigilant, when we are alert and we are prepared. You know, scripture also tells us what? To be sober, to be vigilant. For our enemy, Satan, roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So we need to be alert, on guard, watching. But it's when you let down your guard, it's when you stop watching, it's when the thief gets his opportunity to come to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes at the moment when you are not ready, when you are not watching. And that's what he is saying here about his return. Don't fall asleep. Don't stop being watchful. Don't stop being ready or prepared for my return, because it's at that moment when you stop being prepared that I may return, because I come when you do not know that I am coming. So how do we know, or how can we be prepared for his return? It's simple. It's by being a people who are doing his will, or we're doing his commands. We're walking in obedience to the instructions, the commandments that he has given us to walk in. We are walking in obedience to his Torah, to all of scripture. Scripture tells us, "Blessed is a servant who is found doing the will of the master when the master returns." So that's what we want to be. We want to be that servant who is found faithful when he returns. We don't want to grow weary or tired in doing what is right, but we want to endure in righteousness until the very end, until his return. Do not grow tired in obedience. Luke chapter 12 and verse 35. "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately." So Yeshua here is speaking in a parable. And what is he telling them here? He speaks of how they open the door immediately when he knocks. meaning they were ready for him when he showed up. That's what we want to be when he returns the second time. We want to be ready to immediately open the door when he returns. Luke chapter 12 and verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in a second watch or come in a third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. So there is a reward for the faithful servant. What is that reward for a faithful servant? You know, in a few weeks, we will be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. And the fact that we will celebrate the fact that we will dwell with him, we will live with him in the New Jerusalem. For eternity, we will rule with our Messiah, with our Redeemer, Yeshua. And that is the reward for the faithful servant. That's not the reward for those who lived ungodly. That's not the reward for those who walked in presumptuous sin, walking and stepping over the bounds. That's what presumption is. It is to overstep your limits and your bounds and to do so knowingly. So presumptuous sin is to knowingly do what is wicked, to willfully walk in disobedience. Those will not enter into the gates of the New Jerusalem. They will be outside of the gates. So we do not want to be outside the gates. We want to be inside the new city. Now let's read about the servants who have, you could say, fallen asleep. Those who were not prepared. Those who were not faithful. When he returns, they are not found to be doing the will of the master. Or you could say they were not found walking in the commands of Yahweh. So let's look at verse 45 here. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So when I think about these first verses we read here, in verse 45, how it talks, and he says that my master is delayed in his coming. So then it begins to speak about these evil and wicked behaviors in which he begins to walk in because his master is delayed in coming. It speaks of this attitude that people say, well, he's not returning yet, so I'm going to do as I please. Or you could say they're going to walk, or they're going to do as the men did in the days of Noah. They're going to walk according to the evilness that resides within their hearts. And they take this attitude of, I will walk according to my desires right now. I'll do as I please to do. And I'll make things right later. Because he is not returning yet. That is the attitude of one who is saying, my master is delayed. Or you can say, one who's not being sober or vigilant. I have time to repent. I can continue in my sin. I can continue in my wickedness. But Yeshua speaks of the judgment that comes. And you don't want to be in that state when he returns. Because we talked about the fact that we know the season. Are you going to be able to discern the season of his return if you're walking in the lust of your flesh instead of according to his spirit? To walk according to his spirit is to walk in covenant with him. It's to walk in obedience to his word. As we study out Romans 7, Paul makes it clear that our spirit desires to walk in obedience to the commands, to the instructions, to the Torah given by Yahweh. Paul calls the Torah spiritual, but we are fleshly. Our flesh is at war with the Torah. Our flesh is at war with the commands and the instructions that Yahweh has given us to walk in. It is fighting tooth and nail not to want to submit itself to the law of Yahweh. That is where our flesh is. So every day we have to what? Die to our flesh, because it's at war against the Torah. So we have to be a people who learn to crucify our flesh and to walk according to the Spirit. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, that if we walk in the Spirit, then we will fulfill the righteous requirements of the law, or we will walk in obedience to his word. The other thing we see here in this passage is Yeshua seems to tell us, and we seem to get a glimpse, that there is a greater punishment to some than others. Those who knew what was right and knew what to do will receive a greater punishment than the ones who did not. So to the one who chooses to do whatever he wants to and thinks he has time to repent later, that one is going to receive a greater punishment than the one who was an unbeliever who did not know what was right. To whom much is given, much is required. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. You know, when I think about this verse here in verse 3, it says, they say peace and safety. I think, and I'm reminded of the false prophets during the time of Jeremiah who were preaching peace, who were telling the people there was no need to turn from their wicked ways, that everything was going to be okay. There was no judgment coming. That is the very thing that we're going to see here in the future again. There will be those proclaiming peace and safety, peace and safety. No need to turn from our sin. No need to turn from our wicked behavior. In fact, the earth is probably going to see a period of peace that is never seen before. And in this peace, in this false sense of peace, there is going to come a sudden destruction. It's going to come unaware. They are not going to be ready or prepared for what is coming. But we who are believers in Yeshua, who are walking with the Spirit, will be able to discern the times and the seasons, and we will not be unprepared. Again, the key to being prepared is to continue to stay on guard by guarding the covenant, by walking in covenant with Him, by keeping our belief in Yeshua, keeping Him as our first love, and walking in obedience to His commandments. The reason we walk in obedience is not to obtain righteousness. We can never obtain righteousness on our own. The reason we walk in obedience is because we love the one who died for us. Now let's look at verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. We who are walking in covenant with the Spirit, with Yahweh, walking in obedience, are not in darkness. So we will not be overtaken as the world will be overtaken. Now let's look at verse 5. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So what is light? We are sons of light. Scripture tells us that His word, His Torah, is light. When He gave Israel His Torah, the instructions, His commandments, they were a light to them. They were to guide them through this dark world and how to walk in righteousness and how to find Him. And it is still the same today. We find Him and we can walk in His righteousness by reading His word, learning His word, and by being obedient to His word. So we are sons of light when we walk in His word, when we walk in obedience to His word. So when we are walking in obedience, we are not in darkness. So we are not lost as to what is going on around us, but we are fully aware and are able to discern the times and the seasons that are going on around us. You know, and it's also important when we think about the fact that we are called to be preachers of righteousness. We need to be able to walk in that discernment to know what to speak, what to say. Because we can speak truth, but it may not be the very thing that the Spirit is saying at that moment in time. We need to be able to discern from the Spirit the right things to say. Because if we want to convict the world, we're not going to convict the world by winning an argument. We're not going to convict the world by showing them that we are smarter than they are, or that we have it more figured out than they do. We are going to win the lost by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit convicting their hearts and causing them to want to turn from their sin and walk in righteousness. So we need to walk. We need to work in tandem with the Holy Spirit and to be able to discern what the Spirit would want us to speak as preachers of His righteousness. Let's look at verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, drunk at night. So how do we not sleep? By staying in His commands. When this is talking about, let us not sleep, this is talking about, let us not stop walking in His righteousness, but let's stay watchful, let's stay sober to the fact that our enemy, Satan, is out there seeking to destroy us, to tempt us, to lead us astray. So let's not fall asleep to the temptations and the darkness of the world that is around us, but stay alert, stay aware, and stay in his commands. The world is asleep. It is unaware of his commands. They are unaware of the fact that they are servants of Satan. Paul tells us that we serve one of two people. We're either serving sin, which means you're serving Satan, or we're serving righteousness, which means we're serving Yahweh. So how do you serve Satan? How do you serve sin? By walking in disobedience. If you walk in disobedience, you are a servant to sin or unto Satan. How do we serve righteousness, or how do we serve Yahweh? By serving him, by keeping and obeying his commandments. When we obey his Torah, the instructions and the commands which he has given us to do, we are serving him. It's as simple as that. There's no middle ground. There's no other options. You're either serving Satan or you're serving Yahweh. Let's look at verse 8. But let us who are aware today be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Yeshua Messiah, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So what is Paul telling us here? What is he saying? We are to be sober, just as I talked about before, being alert, being aware. So as we enter into the season of Yom Teruah, let's, number one, let's remember to be sober. Let's remember to be awake. As we blast our shofars, let's remember that we need to be awake, vigilant, alert. When they would blow the shofar, it was a warning. It was to alert everyone of the danger that is around. Let's blow the shofar. Let's alert ourselves of the danger that is around if we drop our guard. And also, let's remember that we are to be that sounding shofar to the world around us, to preach the good news of Yeshua, to speak of the things that I'm about to talk about here. Number one, what does Paul tell us to do? Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. I like how he combines the faith and the love together. So we are to have a faith in Yeshua. It starts first by believing that Yeshua died for us on that cross, and that he rose again on the third day, and that he lives forevermore. And he is right now seated at the right hand of the Father. By putting our faith in what he has done for us, and that by his blood, we are cleansed of all of our sins, of all of our wickedness, of every time we disobeyed his word, every time we disobeyed the Torah. He has forgiven us. He has cleansed us of that. We put our faith in that. We put our faith in the fact that he has circumcised our hearts. He has removed the old, stony, rebellious heart. And he has given us a heart of flesh that is a tender heart that is open to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He has cleansed our hearts and given us a new heart. He has given us a desire to love him. That's why I like that he's putting faith and love together. We have to have a faith in him, and we need to love him. And he says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So our faith has to produce obedience. It is through our obedience that we love him, and we show him that we love him. And he speaks of putting on the helmet of the hope of our salvation. So we put on the fact that we have a hope of the fact that we will receive salvation. Just as we read before, that Yahweh is going to deliver his people from temptation. They are not going to see his wrath. So we have the hope of the future salvation that is to come. Not only our current salvation of how he has saved us from the curse of the law, he has saved us from sin, he has redeemed us from sin, so no longer are we under the power of sin anymore, but now we are free to walk in his righteousness. See, we can never walk in obedience to his word without first being redeemed and set free by Yeshua. So belief in Yeshua must come first. But we have that salvation now by belief in him, that we are saved from our sins. We can walk in obedience. We can walk in his righteousness to be a light unto the world around us, to proclaim his righteousness to the world, to be the shofar to the dark world around us. But we also have a future salvation to look for, when we will be taken from this evil and dark world, both those who are still living and those who have already died. Those who have died will be raised from the dead, and they will be called up, and they will meet with him in the air. And those who are alive will meet with him in the air. We will hear the blast of the trumpet, or the blast of the shofar. It's going to be the loudest shofar blast we have ever heard. When you blast that shofar this upcoming Yom Teruah, it is going to only pale in comparison to the sound that's going to come out of the heavens when he returns. But we will be gathered with him, and we will reign with him for eternity. We will live with him in the new Jerusalem. How awesome and how wonderful that day will be. That's what we're looking forward to. So let's be reminded this season, this year, during Yom Teruah, that we have a future hope, a future salvation to look forward to. He is going to return. He is going to call his bride unto himself. So let us be ready for his return. Let us be a virgin who is found ready for his return. And so with that, I want to close with this last portion of scripture, and that is Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Hallelujah. Let us be ready for his return. Let us be found faithful when the Master returns. Hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us this week for this teaching. I hope that you have a wonderful season of celebrating the fall feast. We will be diving into these fall feasts over these next few weeks, and we are looking so forward to these feasts. You know, we're nearing in to what is supposed to be our most joyful time of the year. So I hope that your feasts are wonderful and blessed, that you experience the shalom of Yahweh where you are. We will be back again next week, and we will be talking about Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. So we hope you come back to join us. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.